Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Psalm number 23, verse 5. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Psalm number 23, verse number 5. I want us to read in concert. Please, let's read together. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to understand your will and your purposes for us. We give you praise because you have always have better plans for us. You always have better plans. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here to bless us. May we know your plans and your will for us. May we not digress. Now move from your ways. Spirit of God, help me. Holy Spirit, help me, for I'm weak. Give me articulation and the understanding to utter that which you want your people to hear. Holy Spirit, brood over this atmosphere. Come do the work that no man has ever done. Change our lives for the better. In Jesus' the blessed name. Amen. Please be seated in the presence of God. Wow. Shout overflow. For some reason, this word is pumping in my spirit, overriding almost everything that the Lord has been speaking to me concerning 2020. Seriously. And I'm beginning to understand God better in his dealings. No matter how good or how best you love yourself, no matter how good or how best your husband or your wife may love you, no matter how good or how best your parents may love you, it is never compared to the love that God has for you. Is somebody here with me? The love of God is so great. It's so powerful. Not only does he love us, but he also has good intentions and good plans. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 40, makes us to understand that The wisdom of God is so great. His understanding is unsearchable. His knowledge concerning you far exceeds what you know about yourself. He knows you better than you know yourself. People claim to know people, but God knows you best. And He knows what you need, and He knows what is good for you. That makes Him God. And per His knowledge, He doesn't do things based on experiments. Everything He does is according to His foreknowledge, and out of His deep resource of wisdom. So before He speaks, He knows what He's saying. Before anything, He brings anything to bear, He knows what the whole thing is about. I came to let you know that God doesn't make mistakes with you. He's an all-wise God. He's an all-knowing God. He's an all-sufficient God. This morning He said in Isaiah 55, verse number 8 through 10, His ways are not your ways, neither His thoughts are your thoughts. As far as the heavens are high above the earth, so His ways are higher than your ways, and therefore His thoughts are higher than His thoughts. What a blessing. Praise God. So the dealings of God are always not the dealings of man. Whenever God is acting, it is not like your father acting. Neither is it like your husband acting. But God is wise all by Himself. He never makes mistake. He never does any wrong. Everything He does is good. Is somebody here with me? We may never see His ways, but the fact that we don't see His ways doesn't mean He's not there. He's always there, making sure that your end shall be glorious. Somebody's blessed. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11, He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." I know the thoughts. In other words, other version says, I know the plans that I have towards you. They are not the plans of evil, but they are good plans. And the plans that I have is to give you an expected end. Unexpected end. God doesn't want your end to be failure. He doesn't want your end to be full of disappointment. So He has programmed your beginning from the end. The book of Romans, chapter number 28, says that for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For we know all things. The wisdom of God is what turns every situation for your good. at the end of the day, his ways may not be the way we want things to be. His ways may not be the ways that we like. It may not look like what you want. But at the end, he leads you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. The understanding of knowing who the Lord is to you is a great wisdom to live by. The Lord is my shepherd. Of all the understanding you may have about who a shepherd is to you, as I've already indicated in other messages, a shepherd may provide, a shepherd may protect, a shepherd may cover, a shepherd may feed, a shepherd may watch over, or whatever may supply. But it is very indicative to understand this, that David saw who the Lord is. In his wisdom, he saw that the Lord is the only source of his life. Yes, things may not be the way I want it, but the Lord is the only source. I may not have what I need, but yet still the Lord is my only source. I may have lost it, but still the Lord is my source. One of the wisdom you and I need to acquired today is the wisdom to know that help does not come from the east nor from the west. Promotion does not come from the east nor from the west, but promotion cometh from above. The Lord set up one and he brings down. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. God is the reason behind every good thing in your life. You may have a good education. You may have good background. You may have good family. Something that you can rely on. God must be your only absolute source of everything. This is the beginning of overflow. It's the wisdom to know that your help is not in yourself. Your ability is not in yourself. But there is a God somewhere who watches over me, who protects me, who leads me in spite of the difficulties, the challenges, the perplexities of life. He will never put me to shame. Because of this understanding, David says, I shall not lack. Because David saw that in the wisdom of God, he is his only source. And the resources of God never runs dry. Wow. The check is as good as the one who issued it. Every check is as good as the one who issued it. When somebody gives you a check, whether the check will go through or will be denied depends on the one who gave it to you. Is the person, does the person has the capacity to able to give you that which he says? God is my source of life. Is somebody here with me? And once I come to that understanding, I trust him with all my heart. No matter what comes my way, I know that his plans for me is for good. It may not be the way I want it, but it's still good. The Bible says, he leads me beside the still waters. Wow. He restored my soul. He leads me on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The wisdom of God will always lead you to the right places of your life. It will not allow you to do anything on your own. He leads me. I come to think of it, why would a God who is so loving and so caring, to the extent that he leads me by the still water so that I can drink to my full, I can drink and drink and drink and drink at my own pace. That is what the still waters means. To be able to drink at your own pace. Because when the currency of the water is high, sheep cannot drink. They are scared when the currency is so fast. They're always withdrawn. You know, sheep always withdrawn from where there is chaos and where there is confusion. So, the good shepherd, who is so wise in his wisdom, will lead you to the still waters. He leads you to the greener pastures, you know that, where the grass is so green. He doesn't lead you to the place where the grass is dry, because there are no nutrients in dry grasses. But where the grass is what? Green and fresh. I know this one, somebody, God is giving you a greener grass. Yeah. He leads you. Wow. Such a wisdom. But he says that he doesn't lead you on the path of unrighteousness, on evil path. But he leads you on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. His name has made you righteous. His name on you, not by your ability, nor your skill, nor what you can do, not the number of times you can pray, nor fast, but his name. Our righteousness is not of ourselves. I want to put it to you that whatever you are able to do for God, or what are you able to do in the house of God, what you are able to do as your way of Christian life is by grace. That is not what is giving you salvation. Salvation is free. You don't work for your salvation. You receive. Can I push this further? So he will lead you on the path of righteousness, not because you are too good, not because you don't sin. But he lead you on a path of righteousness because he has his name on you. The fact that you have, he has his name on you, no devil, no evil is permitted to harm you. Are you understanding me? Let's not live in our self-righteousness, but always seek the grace of God to strengthen us. Your ability to pray is by the grace of God. It's grace that differentiates us. So if somebody is not able to live up to your expectation, don't look down on them. They need grace. They need grace. If somebody has errors in his life, don't condemn them. Pray that God will give them grace to be able to know that which you know and live that which you live. Is somebody here with me? Yes. By grace are we saved. Stop making yourself a judge and stop condemning people. Because you think you are good at something else. Maybe you have a weakness somewhere. And you have covered your weakness and highlighted on somebody's what? I pray for grace. So, for his name's sake, I carry his name. I carry his name. I don't want to dwell there much because that is not what I'm trying to do today. But come to think of it, the same good shepherd could also allow me to go through the valley of the shadow of death. I believe this is a place where nobody wants to go. God, you can do whatever you want to do, but I don't want to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, as for this one, it is not from God. No, no, no. As for this one, this particular one there, it is not God. Let's begin to bind and cast. Then we start, in the name of Jesus, every shadow of death that I'm going through, in the name of Jesus, the demons, the witchcraft, those who are putting me in the valley of the shadow of death. Let me tell you, if you have the wisdom to trust God as the only absolute source of your life, then trust him for his wisdom to lead you. Why will God allow you to go through the valley of the shadow of death? Where I believe many Christians doesn't want to go through because the experience there is not pleasant. It is not good. It is not good. Those are the days you think that God does not even hear prayer. It's fake. Those are the days you think that this Christian thing that they are saying is not real. Those are the days that you may feel like giving up. Those are the days that you may feel like withdrawing. Those are the days that you may feel like, I don't think this will work anymore. But remember, he has his name on you. And the reason why you are not getting stuck in the valley of the shadow of death is that he is with you. The fact that you don't see him moving doesn't mean he's not. But listen, God is there, but then he may be silent. And he has given or allowed the devil to work to certain point in your life where he cannot cross anymore, that after you have suffered a while, he will set a table before you. Amen. No, God did not bring the suffering, but he allowed the suffering. Understand the dealings of God. He does not bring suffering nor punishment, but he allows it. Why? So that you will be trained by it. Why? So that you will be able to know that indeed the Lord is with you. If you don't go through something, how would you know that God is with you? The reason why you did not remain in the valley of the shadow of death is that he was with you. And he emphatically said that my rod and my staff, they comfort you. My rod and my staff. Which means that when you were going through, he was with you. And he's bringing you out. For every challenge, every pain, every perplexity, everything we have been through is to train and to challenge us to believe God more and to trust him that once he's the source of our lives, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Your ability to be able to stand in the days of the valley of the shadow of death is your ability to be able to sit at the table where he will set a table before you right in the presence of your enemy. Many of you don't want to go through it, but if you don't go through it, you will not come through it. Why? Because there are many of us who have lost certain things. Somebody is blessed. So, there are things we have lost. There are opportunities that have slipped by. There are certain things which just left us. Not because God did not bring it our way, but it is because we were not matured for it. We were not prepared for it. Many of you are praying for blessings you are not ready for. Can I rewind and repeat? Many of you are praying for blessings you are not ready for. And I want to say you are wasting your time. Why? Because you are not ready to go through that which will prepare you for the blessing that God is bringing your way. Take it from me. Every discipline, everything that you go through is not to destroy you, but to prepare you. Why will God take him through the valley of the shadow of death? It was for his maturity, his preparation for the abundance and the blessings that God is bringing his way. Whatever is cheaply received can cheaply be given away. Whatever you receive cheaply or easily can cheaply be given away. Some of you couldn't take care of the blessing God brought you because you were not ready for it. The only way God will prepare you to be able to handle that which is bringing your way in his wisdom is to take you through the valley of the shadow of death. And that is the time you may think that it is the worst moment of your life. But I came here to let you know his rod and his staff, they will comfort you. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but whether you like it or not, so long as you are his child, let me tell you people, he will take you through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. Before any glorification, there has to be a demotion. Before any exaltation, there has to be a humbling. No. Even Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who is God, the one we follow and obey, had to be killed and buried. Why should God watch his only son to die? But it was for a purpose. That after his death, all of us will be saved. Nobody said amen here. Amen. A bunch of good people. You are good people. Say a big amen if you are one of them. Amen. Amen. I want to believe this is not a message you want to hear, but it's the truth. Anybody who believes you are a child of God, expect to go through at certain point in your life the valley of the shadow of death. God may not necessarily take you there, but he allows you to go through. That is where things may be very rough in your life. But maybe I will touch on that next month. In your valley experience, what you need to keep you through, as he comforts you with his staff and his rod, is your praise. It's your praise. But I won't touch on that. But thank God you are going through something today. Because weeping will not last. Weeping may only endure for a night. But joy is coming in the morning. I prophesy as a church that the year 2020 is going to be the appearing of our morning. No matter the distress, no matter the confusion, no matter how, sometimes, you see, you need to be in this position to know sometimes the heart and the things that worries me that nobody knows, the things that I'm hurt about that nobody knows, but I know it is part of the process. I have entrusted my life and my ministry to his hands. He is the only source. Everything that is happening is to shift your focus from the only source of your life. But if you don't lose focus and you maintain your stand with God, there he's going to set a table before you. I see this happening to you. So, understand this. The same God who is so loving, so caring, so wonderful, also allows you to go through tribulations so that it will toughens you. It will strengthens you. It will empowers you. It will increase you for your next level. Amen. If you are not ready to go through something, some delays, then you are not ready for your next level. Because, you see, your next level is too big and loaded. Your next level is what? Too big and loaded. Only few people got this. I said your next level is too big and loaded. And let me tell you, church, are not prepared for it, you can't handle it. Can you imagine? God is hosting you in his house with a party. Only you. Now he's doing it in the presence of anyone who thought you couldn't make it. They will be there chewing their mouth, but yet they can't touch you. It pained them, but yet they couldn't talk. Why? It is your time. I came to decree and declare, no amount of attack will ever stand against you from today. He's about to set a table before you. They thought you failed, but he's about to set a table before you. They thought you couldn't make it, but God is about to set a table before them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Then after that, he says, I will anoint your head with oil. And that I explained last Sunday to be elevation. God is going to elevate you. And then finally, overflow you. Wow. So if you don't have the capacity to endure and to trust him, irrespective of where he takes you, you miss your 235. Are you understanding me? God is good. He never makes mistake. Therefore, trust him. Tap three people and say, trust him. Come on, trust him. Trust him. I believe when you look at the life of David, he would have been the best person to give up in life. He would have been the best person to give up in life. Can you imagine? God has anointed you. Before even the anointing, the Father even has forgotten about him. Oh, are they all your sons? You say, oh, yeah. Oh, I remember. The moment he was anointed, Saul was after his life. What about this king, that this thing is, this guy is worrying me here about? Let me just give up. But David didn't see anyone as the source of his life, but only God. This morning, I want to share with you one of the major assets to your overflow life. The major assets, one of the major assets. Yesterday at CTG, I shared on favor. Today, I'm sharing on wisdom. I'm sharing on wisdom. Tap somebody and say wisdom. Wisdom, according to the Bible, is the principal thing. So in all your gettings, get wisdom. Tell somebody wisdom. To be able to live life and live it well, you need wisdom. To be able to live a life of abundance, you need wisdom. Go with me to Proverbs 8, 20 to 21. When we talk about overflow, wisdom is one of the major assets. Wisdom is one of the major assets. Proverbs chapter number 8, verse number 22-21. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the path of justice. Come back to King James. Come back to King James. Thank you. I lead in the way of righteousness and in the midst of the path of judgment. 21. Now everybody go. That I may cause those that love me to inherit what? And I will fill their treasures. I will fill their treasures. That is overflow. God says, I'm bringing you to a place where I will cause you to love me. Those who love me, the word love me, the me there is wisdom. Because right from the whole chapter, he's talking about wisdom. He said that those who will love me, I will cause them to inherit substance and fill their treasures. God is taking us to a place where he will fill us with treasures and fill our substances. The least among us in the year 2020 will be the one who will say that even if I don't have money at all, it's not my $10,000. That one is sitting there untouched. You think I'm joking? I'm prophesying. The least among us will be driving their own vehicle to church. Listen, the least among us will be sharing testimonies every day. Why? Wisdom is at work. Somebody's blessed. What is this wisdom we are talking about? What is this wisdom we are talking about? We are talking about the wisdom that is from above. The wisdom of God that only God gives. In the book of James, chapter number 3, verse 17, alludes to the fact that but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. That means all other wisdom are not pure. Number 2, it is peaceable. That means all other wisdom are not peaceable. Number 3, it is gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. Ah, good word. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. Say wisdom from above. There are many other wisdom that the scriptures alluded to. I'm trusting God that we'll get into this next year. But we have earthly wisdom. We have diabolic wisdom. We have a fear wisdom, house wisdom. And we call it a fear nyansa. Amen. We have academic wisdom. Praise God. All kinds of wisdom. But the kind of wisdom we are talking about is the one that comes from above. Somebody is blessed. Hallelujah. Now I'm sharing again in this service another feature of this wisdom. Somebody is blessed. I said somebody is blessed. Wow. Are you ready for it? Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 12. Now if you have finished writing it, read it. Go. Amen. Wow. So the number one feature in this service of wisdom is that wisdom is a defense. Anybody who wants to enjoy overflow must have wisdom. And what is this wisdom to you? It shall be your defense. For wisdom is a defense and money is what? So if you have wisdom, you have money. Because both are what? Defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them. So aside the defense, it gives you life. So we are talking about a wisdom that is making you excellent in everything you do. It has the power to defend you from any kind of trouble. And one of our biggest trouble is lack and want. Everybody is afraid that if I don't work hard, I don't get money, I may be found lacking or irresponsible to take care of my family or whatever, or to be able to meet your needs. Are you understanding me? But wisdom, which is a defense, will defend you against all troubles. Your army is weak. Amen. I said your army is weak. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Not only does it defend you, but it also provides solutions to all problems. Wisdom. It provides solutions to all problems. The problem in your life is your lack of wisdom, not a lack of money. Some of you think that if you have money, you would do such and such and such and such. Some of you think if you have money, the way, all that you are praying for is money. No, you don't need money. You need wisdom. Amen. Stop praying for money. Because I know somebody who has been given money to start a business. In less than 3 months, everything. No, you are the example I'm talking about. How many times haven't you been given something to work with? And then in no time, you lost it. So their problem is not with lack of money. But your problem is lack of what? Wisdom. Every poor person is not wise. Can I repeat that? Anybody who is poor is not wise. Because wisdom gives you or provides you solution to all problems. Wisdom will teach you what to do to make money. Wisdom. No, don't look at my face. I'm telling you, get wisdom today. You don't need money. You don't need money. I'm telling you, you don't need money. Stop praying for money. Listen, many of you think that if you have money, your problems will be solved. No. is the beginning of your woes if you don't have wisdom. Are you understanding me? Yes. So it provides you with what? Solutions. Let's read the Ecclesiastes again. Let's get more facts. Go with me to Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes 9, 14 to 16. It provides you with solution. Ecclesiastes 9, 14 to 15. Everybody, after writing, look on the screen and read with me. Go. And besiege it. And build a great bulwark against it. Good. Continue. Now there was found in it a poor who? Yet. Ati. Even though he was wise, but because he was poor, nobody ever heard. Don't be poor. No. Don't aspire to be poor. Some of you are aspirants of poverty. You're aspirants of what? Because you always want people to see that you don't have. And that has been your life till now. Hey, even if you don't have it, project yourself to have it. No. By faith, you are walking in wisdom that is bringing solution to every need in your life. Don't be an aspirant of poverty. Today, may you break part with poverty. In the name of Jesus Christ. So, in this service, wisdom is our defense. Wisdom is life. So, if anybody wants to enjoy overflow, you must see the wisdom that God is bringing. We saw this in the life of David as well. David realized that by the wisdom of God, he was defended. And he came out even when there were attacks against his life. What did he say? I will fear no evil. At a point in his life, by wisdom, he was able to know what to do to avoid death over his life. How possible? When the wisdom of God is at work, it leads you and guides you and provides solutions for you. Somebody is blessed. Amen. I said somebody is blessed. Amen. Wow. What a blessing. I said what a blessing. Amen. For anybody to be able to, I just want to wrap up and then we go. You must understand that wisdom is not a thing, but wisdom is a person. And that person is the person, the Holy Spirit. So let's define wisdom right now. What is wisdom? Quickly, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? Tell somebody, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? What is wisdom? What is wisdom? Matthew chapter number 7, verse 24 to 25. What is wisdom? Matthew 7, 24 to 25. What is wisdom? Please help me read. Wherefore, whosoever heareth these words, it says, of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded. Somebody is blessed. So in this service, what is wisdom? Everybody write. Wisdom is knowing the right step to take in the word and taking it. Knowing the right step to take in the word and taking it. Knowing the right step to take in the word and taking it. Wow. Somebody's blessed. Somebody's blessed. I said somebody's blessed. What a blessing. What a blessing. Now, this wisdom, as is heavenly, it is also godly. It is knowing the right step to take in the word and taking it. When God speaks to you, he said, go to 24. Go to 24. Whosoever heareth my words or this saying of mine and doeth them. Taking the right step in his word makes you wise. When God speaks, it is not time to compromise. When God is leading you or directing you, that is not the time to ask him, why should I do this? Whenever he speaks, it's final. Because his wisdom is unsearchable. And his plans for you is never to fail you, but to promote you. So if you follow and trust in his words, he takes you to the right places of your life. I'm just giving you some small synopsis, and then we are done. Now, how do you draw from this wisdom? How do you acquire or draw from this wisdom for your overflow? How? John chapter 15, verse 14 to 15. Number one, John chapter 15, verse 14 to 15. How then do you draw from this wisdom? Thank you, Jesus. He says that ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his master doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. I didn't hear amen on that. But listen to the verse number. You see, this is a situation God is calling you a friend. Because he shares secrets. He shares everything he knows with you. Whatever the Father has made known to him, he's also giving it to you. But look at verse 14. He says that, ye are my friends. Why? Because ye do whatsoever I do. What? So what is the number one requirement of this wisdom? Is your heart for God. Write it. It's your heart for God. Your heart for God. Your heart for God. A heart for God. A heart for God. A heart for God. Tap somebody and say, a heart for God. Yeah. A heart for God. Where is your heart? David of all had a great heart for God. Don't mess up. He could mess up anything. But when it comes to him and God, don't come between them. Let nothing come between him. His heart for God was above par. And no wonder that God set a table before him in the presence of his enemies. He started enjoying overflows. How well do you love God? Is your heart really for him? You want God to share with you mysteries. Stop gearing your heart towards other things and set your heart on God, and he will never fail you. Number two, how do we draw this wisdom? Because that is the level to which we can overflow. I know I'm coming back to this message next year. I know. Don't miss it. It's going to be powerful. Number two, Isaiah 12:3. Can I load you with scriptures? Isaiah 12:3, Psalm 16:11, Luke 10:21. Okay, let's have just the three. We'll continue some other time. Isaiah 12:3 says that therefore, everybody go. Wow. Is it true? Is it true? Is it true? No, no. Is it true?
Yes.
What is he saying? With what?
Joy.
With what?
Joy.
So anytime you come to church with a mumu face, you... No, 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 no. Anytime you come with burden, with pain, anytime you come with your face as if you are carrying the whole world's problem, you fail to draw from the wells of what? In case you don't understand, your salvation is like a well full of everything you need. How then? Now, yesterday I was talking about, I don't know why it has come back today. How then do you draw? How many who are Buddha? A Buddha? And now can Buddha cry? Praise God. A Buddha. At the end of this, I can't say. Huh? Praise God. And Nietzsche, I am so Buga. And only a dear day. Yeah, this, sir. Tell somebody it is well. So, listen. In the well is your prosperity. It's your healing. It's your protection. Everything that Christ has died for is in the well. Now, he didn't say you draw with prayer. No. Listen. That's why when we come and we are singing praises and you think, say, as for what dear, how dear. And you are waiting for the time for us to pray so that you can begin to do the gymnastics. That's why the prayer didn't work. Because there is an approach to everything. He said that with joy shall you draw from the wells of salvation. Anything you want from God would not come until you are filled with joy. That is why Habakkuk said that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The word strength is not bingima. It's not to be carrying weight. But strength to be able to draw from the wells of salvation. Is anybody here with me? Come on, let me hear joy in this house. Shout it! Oh, you see? They are still carrying their problems. Oh no. The Bible says, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Don't let anybody sit on your joy in church.
Amen.
He said that, oh Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. So the second point is that a joyful heart. How do you draw from wisdom? You draw wisdom with a joyful heart. Say with a joyful heart. Psalm 16:11. He said that thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence there is what? Fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are what? Pleasures. Somebody is blessed. All right. Now, what is the product of wisdom? Two things you are done. Length of days are within. Length of days. Length of days. Product of, wisdom. Proverbs 3:16. And wealth is in wisdom. Somebody is blessed. The same scripture. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand is riches and hold. Anna, be on your feet.
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.